It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Hello, Dolphin fans. Yes, that's right. We're back with yet another season of previews and reviews of your Miami Dolphins. Each week, we will discuss the upcoming game, analyzing the opponent, and then follow every game with a review show with all the highs and lows of the game. This season looks to be one of the most exciting seasons we have had in a good while, and we are really, truly excited to be there every step of the way. So please look for us and follow us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Please feel free to leave comments after each show, as we truly appreciate any feedback. Now let's kick off this week's show.
And it's another Fin Fans podcast. Today I'm here with Louis Rigoni.
Hello, Dolphins. Victory Monday, Mike.
It's always kind of sweet when
you... As you call it.
Yes. But we're not, you know. Hey, did we get a victory Monday or was it a victory Saturday? I don't know. But anyway.
Friday.
Yeah, right. Friday.
Well, we always call it victory Monday. We always play on Sunday, Mike. So
yeah.
Nothing's changed.
Call it whatever you want.
Yeah.
So on this victory Monday, we get to talk about the stinking New York Jets.
And they are nice. Stinking.
I got to tell you, we played pretty well against them. they were worse than I thought they were. My God, that team is bad.
Wow. Well, I've watched a lot of them, Mike, and that was by far collectively their worst game that they've played. I mean, they didn't play a great game against Buffalo last week. You know, so actually the last 2 weeks have been just absolutely horrendous. You know, their defense has really held them in games and have kind of kept them around.
Sure.
For a bit now. But, you know, I think the loss to Buffalo last week where they just trounced them. And then, of course, you know, our win against them on Friday, I think they're kind of like defeated at this point.
Yeah, and when your offense can't get a first down, it makes it really hard on the defense.
Absolutely. And, you know, Mike, the thing that interested me the most in regard to that game on Friday was the fact that we were able to just run all over them in the second half. I mean, they had no answers. I mean, we were just getting first down after first down. You know, the game was somewhat tight, if you think about it, up until the fourth quarter. You know, I mean, we had a, 26 game, something to that effect, you know, at that point. So they were a couple scores behind, but it wasn't as if we were trouncing them. But, you know, the fact that we lost three offensive linemen in that football game and we had a bunch of backups in and we were still able to do that late in the game in the fourth quarter was interesting to me. They were just dominating them. I don't know if they had brought in subs at that point as well, but regardless of the fact, I mean, they were just taking it to them, and it was a good thing to see.
Speaking of losses, the worst thing to come out of that game was losing Jalen Phillips.
Yeah, I mean, it might as well get that out of the way, because, you know, that was a big, big negative, you know, coming out of this football game. Obviously, the biggest negative and one of the biggest negatives we've had this season. You know, it's a guy, you know, we talked a little bit before we got on, and you said, you know, there's five guys on that defense that you can't lose, and he's one of them, and you're absolutely right with that. The good thing is there is positives. You know, you have Ogba and Van Ginkel, and a combination of the both of them will kind of ease the pain a bit, but not, you know, they're not going to be able to replace him. I mean, he's a whole other animal altogether. So that is a bad negative for us, but, you know, hey, you know, life goes on. You know, hopefully he comes back healthy next season.
He played such a great game too. I mean, he just had a phenomenal game, and to see him go down, it's to me, it's disheartening. That's all.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it goes to show you, Mike, that regardless of what they do, you know, protection wise, there's nothing you can do about injuries in the game of football. I mean, he started, you know, basically like a track runner. You know, he was coming off that back heel, and it just blew out on him. And you could, I mean, the video that I saw was just horrible, because you can see basically, you know,
the calf responding to it.
The calf responding to it, to where it just, you know, you saw it just vibrate up the lower part of his leg. You know, it's just frustrating. You know, it really is, because, you know, it wasn't even on a contact player, you know, him chasing somebody down. It was just basically coming out of his stance that it happened. So, you know, very frustrating. You know, Mike, these guys are, you know, they work out so much, and everything on their body is just so tight. You know, it's almost like pulling a rubber band, you know, as tight as you can, you know.
Yep.
And, you know, eventually, you know, stuff like that is going to happen. You know, let's just hope he bounces back, and bounces back quickly.
Well, a couple of the players were blaming the field, Mostert for one, and I don't know who else. But, you know, I mean, they saw what happened to Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if if it's similar or not similar, but both happened on the same field. And you know, the players are petitioning, you know, for teams to get rid of those artificial turfs.
Right. They should have a long time ago. With the amount of money the NFL has, I mean, they shouldn't be playing on fields like that. I mean, I know there's been complaints, but, you know, Phillips's particular injury, Mike, I don't know if you can really blame it on that. I mean, he didn't even take a step. It wasn't like the turf gripped gripped his leg and his knee twisted or whatever. And the Aaron Rodgers injury, to me, was a little bit indifferent as well, because, you know, he got tackled, and I think his foot just went one way. And, you know, the amount of weight that was coming down on him, I think, had something to do with that. Who knows? But I did read something in regard to Rodgers, to where he reached out to Phillips in regard to rehabbing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that goes a long way, you know, in my mind, you know, a guy doing that, you know, it's a rival football team. And the fact that, you know, he even did that, I think is a great thing. It really is, you know, because he's probably understanding what Phillips is going through. I mean, obviously he was extremely upset. It looked like he was crying as they were carting him off the field.
Yeah, of course he was. He was devastated.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, you work hard, you know, you get to this point in the season where, you know, you're seeing, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel, and, you know, some positive things happening with your football team, and now you're not going to be part of it. It's a struggle. But, you know, if in fact, you know, he does follow Rodgers's path in regard to recuperation, I mean, who knows? I mean, you know, they're talking about Rodgers possibly playing by the end of this season. I mean, if that in fact is the case.
I heard he could possibly practice this week.
Yeah. I mean, if that's in fact the case, Mike, then, you know, Phillips has got a lot longer time frame here to get back at the start of next season. If Rodgers is able to do it in a couple months, then, you know, Phillips being 20 years younger, right?
Sure.
And, you know, if he follows that path, you know, there's a chance that maybe we see him right at the beginning of next season. So let's.
I hope so.
Let's hope that's the case. Yeah. I mean, it's frustrating. But, you know, there weren't any other significant injuries. What happened with Austin Jackson? Did he get thrown out for throwing a punch?
I think so.
Because the announcing, you know, and the updates, you know, I know they have sideline reporters, but my God, they weren't really keeping you updated. You know, they went to a commercial when Holland got hurt, and then you didn't hear anything more about it, you know, when they came back.
They don't like to talk about injuries. I don't know if they're a little, you know, easier going with those reporters or not, but they just don't like to discuss them.
On the sideline, they always get reports, though, in regard to, you know, regardless of who it is, Mike. You know, I watch the games all day, and as the game, that's what they're down there for. So,
Understand that, but that doesn't mean people are running over to them to, you know, update them on statuses, you know. I think they kind of have to read between the tea leaves, so to speak, you know.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the significance of the injury. I'm talking about whether he got up and he walked into the tent, blah, blah, blah. They always give you updates in regard to that, and they didn't. Yeah. And Austin Jackson walked off the field, and there was nothing in regard to that. You know, whether he got thrown out, you know, I don't know if during the commercial, you know, the referees had pointed out the fact that he had gotten thrown out for throwing a punch, but he left the field as well, and he wasn't in at the end of the game. So, you know, they just didn't do a very good job as far as I was concerned in regard to keeping things updated on the sideline. I mean, I've seen much better situations, you know, in regard to the reporters keeping you updated. But anyway, all the negatives out of the way. How about Javon Holland? Oh, my God. Wow.
That was pretty incredible. Have you ever seen that happen before? Because I don't think I have.
I never. Absolutely never. I don't know if it'll ever happen again. I mean, that was just remarkable. And it's interesting because, you know, in all the years of football between the two of us, you know, I don't know if it's ever happened. I don't think it has. But you may see teams being a little bit more cautious in regard to these Hail Marys going forward. Because let me tell you something, you know, the momentum at that point in the game had changed. Tua had thrown on two straight possessions, two interceptions, one a pick six. And you're going into the half and you're thinking, wow, what did we do here? I mean, we totally dominated the first half and we're up 10-6 at this point.
Yeah.
So that was a turning point. I think that you know, going in, you're talking about the very last play before you go into the locker room at halftime, and you're on the sideline as a defense and the coaching staff, and you're watching this unfold, and you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, we were in this game, and now with our offense, we've got nothing but an uphill battle. And it was a big turning point in the game. It really was. You know, I felt that, you know, we went somewhat conservative in the second half for a little bit. You know, we had 3 points in the third quarter, and that was it. The Jets didn't score at all. So, you know, the second half started off with us, you know, not doing an awful lot of offensively once again. So that touchdown, Mike, you know, getting back to it, was a major, major turning point in this football game.
I can't argue that. So, Lewis, what'd you think of Tua's game?
Tua. You know, offensively, and Tua, who's part of that offense, it just seems like basically the same thing happening week in and week out. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. It's kind of like week in and week out now, he's making these throws that go for interceptions. You know, you can go back to the Philly game and a few of these other games to where, you know, they're just bad throws. You know, he's not looking at what the situation is in front of him. He's just throwing to a spot. I mean, he looked on the interception that went for pick six. You know, you've got complete control of the game.
He was late on that throw.
Well, he was late on it because it was his second read, but you know, you can't make that throw regardless. The guy's just sitting there. You know, that's the worst thing that could possibly happen. And, you know, if you're playing a slightly better offensive team, you just allowed a team that you've just dominated in the first half to be, you know, a field goal behind at that point, right? Obviously, they missed the extra point, but going forward, you didn't know. You know, I mean, initially, you didn't know that.
Right.
I mean, you've got a field goal game at that point. You know, you can't do it. You just can't do it. So, you know, I mean, he played well. I mean, this is a really good secondary. I mean, some of his throws were outstanding. You know, Hill should have caught a touchdown. He dropped another touchdown pass. You know, that's two.
I think he's all beaten up, honestly.
Yeah, he is. He's taken a beating. I agree with you. But if you're on the field, Mike, you got to make plays.
You got to make plays. No doubt about it.
If not, then, you know, put Cedric Wilson or somebody else out there and throw the fade to him. But he had Gardner burnt, and it should have went for six. He threw a great pass to Waddle over Gardner later in the game. So he did some really, really good things, but, you know, you mix in the bad things and, you know, it kind of leaves you with he was pretty good. And that's been the case of late. You know, you look around the quarterbacking in the NFL and, you know, people always want to compare, but, you know, I'm one to say, who gives a shit about what this guy or that guy is doing? I concern myself with the Miami Dolphins and our situation here. I don't like to compare because there's so many different situations and so many different avenues you can go down. What you have to look at with Tua is what he's doing and what he's capable of doing and what he's not doing. And, you know, going forward, you know, we've got a couple of games here in front of us with Washington and Tennessee that, you know, are winnable football games that you can probably get away with making a mistake or two in. But after that, Mike, it's all playoff, period. That's it. You know, I mean, you've got a stretch against Buffalo, Baltimore, and Dallas to where you can't do that. As a matter of fact, you've got to step your game up. Period. It's got to, he's got to play in order for us to win those football games and to hopefully get the one or two seed. He's got to elevate his game in these big football games. And we have Buffalo mixed in there. Did I say Buffalo? I think I did already. We've got Buffalo, Baltimore, and Dallas football games. And they're not going to be easy. They're just not. You know, who else is on the schedule, Mike, other than those five games that I just mentioned? We got one more. Who is it against? Oh, the Jets again, right?
Yeah,
we play the Jets again. So, you know, I mean, I've got mixed emotions. I have over the last, you know, month or so with Tua. He's not playing bad, but he's not playing great. You know, he was early in the season and, you know, they're falling in the patterns, this offense, you know, as the season's progressing here. You know, you want to see them play a little bit better, especially with the way the defense has been playing, Mike. I mean, they've been playing lights out. So the offense is getting a lot of opportunities to get the ball back and to do some things with it. You know, you hate to complain, but, you know, they're still just not there yet. You know, you look, we talk about this week in and week out, you know, with the amount of targets, you know, to our receivers. And, you know, Waddle and Hill had 20 and the rest of the team had eight targets. So, you know, again, you know, we're in a situation where, you know, the majority of the targets, I mean, more than the majority of the targets above and beyond are going to two main guys. It was good to see Waddle get a lot more targets this week. Eight targets, eight receptions for 114 yards. That's what we want to see. He actually had more yards receiving than Tyreek did.
Yep.
So you want to see that. You know, you want to see some more balance in between those two guys for sure, because Hill's been getting targeted more and, you know, his numbers have been much, much better than Waddle's. So that you love to see. But, you know, when you talk about the running backs, next to nothing as far as targets. Berrios had one target and Wilson had three. You know, so four targets from the third receiver position. Smythe, three targets, you know, one catch for 10 yards. You know, the tight ends, again, just aren't part of the equation. I think they have to get a little bit more diverse going forward, especially against some of these better teams. They're going to have to throw the ball to guys that teams aren't expecting them to throw the ball to. Otherwise, I think we're going to have a hard time scoring points against some of these better teams. So to answer your question, Tua, you know, really, really solid game again, but, you know, some mistakes that have to be eliminated.
All right. What we're going to do is we're going to take a step back for just a couple minutes and we'll be right back.
One thing I liked, Lewis, was the coaches actually splitting the runs and passes.
Right.
You know, we're running a balanced offense, and that helps. But now we got to find a couple of, you know, receivers that are going to get the job done consistently in the slot.
Right.
You know, you keep thinking it's going to be Wilson, but they just don't throw to him an awful lot.
You know, when Tua's dropping back, he's throwing the mostly Hill and then, of course, Waddle behind him. You know, in regard to the balance situation, Mike, I mean, Tua attempted 30 passes, and we ran the ball like 40 times.
Yep.
I mean, it was, you know, Mostert had 20 carries. Wilson had 11, so they had 31 between them alone. And then the other kid came in that fumbled, and he had some, and I think we had a couple end arounds. So, yeah, they ran the ball probably close to 40 times. So they actually, you know, ran the ball more than they did pass the ball this week, which, you know, I do like, you know. So that's a good point, you know, on your end. You know, I think that they felt that there was no reason to take an awful lot of chances in the second half. The only way the Jets could possibly win this game is by us turning the ball over,
sure,
you know, on numerous occasions.
Well, so. Mostert's put the ball on the ground a few times, and that makes me nervous. But all in all, I do want to see them run, and he's the guy to do it.
Yeah, he runs hard, Mike. He really does. I mean,
he does.
You know, 94 yards. I mean, you know, 2 weeks back, same exact thing. I mean, he had to grind it out. And,
yep,
you know, there's a lot of backups, you know, the two guard positions. You got backups in the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
And I think that's affecting them running the ball up the middle. But when he's getting hit at the line of scrimmage, he's still gaining 3 or 4 yards. So, you know, all the power to him. He's on his way to a 1,000-yard season. You know, Achan should be back this week. Hunt should be back this week. I think that they could possibly get by with the both of them not playing the next couple weeks and saving them, but I think Hunt is definitely going to be back.
Yeah, Achan I would save. I really do think that they need to get him healthy for that three-game stretch.
Yeah, get him back in the group. I think both of them, Mike. I mean, you know, you can't. I don't want to see both of them just get thrown out there if they're not playing for a month,
right?
You know, against a team like Dallas or Buffalo, any of those teams that I mentioned earlier. You know, you definitely want to see those guys.
We play the Jets again in 3 weeks. That would be the time to, you know, implement them back into the rotation.
Yeah. I think you're going to see both of them this coming week, Mike. I really do.
Yeah, I hope
but
not.
We'll see.
I wouldn't mind seeing Hunt, to be honest with you, but I think they should leave Achane.
Right, right, right.
Because otherwise he's just going to aggravate it again. I'd rather they let it heal.
Yeah, I mean, Wilson did a pretty good job, right?
Yep.
You know, in regard to it's amazing because coming into the season, you know, we were so deep at that running back position. Now with the loss of Ahmed for the rest of the year, you know, and the fact that Achan's been down, I mean, you're talking about, you know, basically we're down to Wilson and Mostert. The you know, the guy that they had in, I don't remember his name. What was it? Brooks? Evans. The running back Evans that they brought in. I think they brought him in just recently, right?
Yeah, Darrington Evans. I believe he was on the practice squad for a while.
Was he? Okay, yeah. So, I mean, you know, they're not overly deep. I mean, if they have another injury, you know, to a guy like, you know, even a Mostert or a Wilson, I mean, they're getting down to the nitty-gritty there. So it's important that Achane comes back and he stays healthy, as you mentioned, for sure, because we're getting a little bit thin at that running back position.
Yep. What's Alec Ingold's role? I just don't see. I mean, he was on the field, I guess, for 20 plays. What do you see his role as?
You know, last year, you know, I felt that they did a really good job at getting him the football in the flats from time to time. And I truly feel that they should do it 2-3 times a game, you know, at least target him even 4-5 times a game when they're in those packages. You know, I think that would bring a nice element to his game. But, you know, as far as him blocking, I think it's been average. I think he's been grading out pretty low, actually. I'll be honest with you, Mike. I hate to see that package in when he's on the field. I'd much rather see them spread a defense out. Tua gets rid of the ball quick, and boom, he hits somebody. I love when Achane and Mostert are both on the field at the same time. I would have liked to have seen both Wilson and Mostert on the field at the same time this past week. I just think that, you know, when you're lining him up behind Tua and Tua's under center and Mostert 7-8 yards off the football, you know, they do those pitches and it's kind of hit and miss, you know, especially with the offensive lineman out. I think you're just wasting plays there.
I just pulled up his grade for the season. He's at a 49 for the season.
Yeah, I mean, just not good, Mike. I mean, you know, I guess at times, you know, maybe down by the goal line, you know, in short yardage, you might need him. But
where he does have a positive grade is pass blocking at 74.9. But the rest of his grades are pretty poor.
Pretty poor, yeah. I mean, you know, tight end position, fullback position. I mean, there's some positions on this team that, you know.
Just above him is Durham Smythe at a 50.7.
Yeah, and that's our starting tight end. Yep. I mean, listen, I don't care if they go out and get – I would love to see a pass-catching tight end on this football team. I just think it's such a great element to have. You know, a big bruiser that, you know, that is physical, that, you know, you're not looking for him. You know, you're worried about Tyreek and Waddle, and all of a sudden this guy's running down the seam and just bouncing off of people. I'd love to see that. But if you don't want that, go out and get a guy that can just physically dominate blocking-wise, because Smite's not that either.
Nope.
Obviously, his grade shows that. He's never really been... Was he our best blocking tight end for the last few years? Absolutely, but that's not saying an awful lot. So, you know, I think upgrades are needed. You know, as much as I like both of the players, you know, their production and what they're asked to do, they're not doing a great job at doing it. So, you know, I feel that they could definitely use upgrades. They don't value those positions, Mike. So, you know, I mean, it's you know, you're knocking on dead wood, right?
Yeah.
So to speak.
I mean, I like Ingold too, you know, but I just don't see they're not really consistent in how they use him.
They're not. I mean, I love the plays where, you know, they have that package in and they throw out of it and he's in the flat and you know, he's able to get some yardage there.
Right.
You know, listen, I don't call the plays on this football team. I think that they can be a little bit more diverse, and hopefully they are going forward. Like, they've kept a lot of stuff, Mike, in their back pocket, so to speak. And, you know, they reveal all the, you know, a bunch of new plays that some new wrinkles that haven't been seen up to this point.
Well, they were very vanilla against the Jets. They really didn't do a lot outside
not
the box.
At all. And, right. You know. And I expect much of the same the next couple of weeks. I mean, you know, Washington, you know, we'll talk about them come Wednesday, but, you know, they traded away their two best defensive linemen. And they've been reeling, you know, of late. Their offense has been inconsistent. Kid Howell has been inconsistent at the quarterback position. Are they somewhat dangerous? Yeah, they can play with you. You know, if you go to sleep on them, they have some good receivers and stuff. But, you know, I think you're going to probably see, like you just mentioned, another very vanilla game. We'll talk more about that on Wednesday. In regard to our offense, you know, I think we kind of covered everybody. I felt Waddle had a great, great game. You know, it was great to see. You know, on the defensive side, I mean, you know, what more can you say? I mean, Baker graded out great, right, Mike?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. His grade was what? Like elite this past week, right? Over 90?
Well, yeah, his coverage grade, yes.
Yeah. I mean, he did a really okay. I thought it was his overall grade that he graded out at a 90. But regardless of the fact, you know, the defense as a whole has been playing really, really solid. And, you know, Ramsey and X-Band, Mike, I mean, they don't even get challenged really all that much.
Baker's overall grade was 90.9.
Yeah.
His run defense was 66.6. His tackling was 79. His pass rush was 54.8. And his coverage was 92.
Gotcha. So all that averages out to a 90.9. Very nice. But, you know, there's guys like Kahoo who just come up, and it seems like he has a really solid blow-up hit every single week, right? I mean, where he just gets physical. And I don't think he's a very big guy. And he just,
no, he's not.
You know, he sticks it to him. Wilkins is really taking off of late. I mean, he's been playing extremely well over the last couple of weeks.
Kahoo's 5'10", 195.
Yeah, I mean, not a big guy, but no. Boy, does he put his head down and he sticks. Raekwon Davis had a very solid football game. You know, Mike, you go up and down. You know, Siler, decent game. Ogbuck came in and did a very solid job. He had a sack and a half in, you know, the 20-some-odd plays or 12. I think he was on the field for 12 plays and had a sack and a half. So, you know, a lot of guys on the defensive side played very well. And then, of course, you have our kicker, Sanders, who I believe put a 54-yarder through, which was nice, right?
Yeah.
I think he had a 54-yard field goal, and that was great to see. He had a 38-yarder, and he had a 54-yarder. So, you know, it's good to see Sanders doing his thing.
Did you see what I saw last night with the Baltimore kicker?
Tucker, yeah.
Yeah, he missed a field goal.
Yep, absolutely. Kept them in the football game.
Unbelievable.
All right, guys, we're going to break for a few moments, and we'll be right back.
I'll tell you what, you know, that game last night, boy, you know, the Chargers had an opportunity and, you know, just couldn't get it done. Baltimore, as you watch them, Mike, on the defensive side.
Scary.
Oof, they are pretty doggone solid. Pretty doggone solid, to say the least.
I don't see a weakness in their defense. I honestly don't.
No, nope, nope, nope. I mean, you look around the AFC right now, Mike, and, you know, we're in pretty doggone good shape. I mean, we get a couple wins these next few weeks, which we should. You know, and we're sitting at 10-3, you know, with four games to play. You know, you're in pretty doggone good shape. You have to win one or two of those games down the stretch, though, if you want any chance at home field advantage, because Jacksonville's at 8-3. Baltimore's at 9-3. Kansas City's at 8-3.
Yeah.
You know, all of them are there. You know, you don't, you know, if you win the division, you'll get a home game. But, you know, you're looking at, you know, possibly playing Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Indianapolis, Houston, or Buffalo. You know, you're going to have.
You know what I say, Lewis? Every time you win, it makes the next game even more important.
Yep.
And that's how it works. It's that simple, because you've got to hold serve. You've got a bunch of teams competing for your spot.
Yes. Yep.
You want to keep it, or do you want to give it away?
Yeah.
You want to keep it, you got to win.
Yeah, I mean, down the stretch, you know, that Baltimore game, Mike, at the end of the season
could be very important.
Could be extremely, extremely important. You know, as you look at their schedule down the stretch, they play San Francisco, they play Jacksonville. I mean, their schedule is not easy.
Good.
By no means. Yeah, exactly. Listen, they play the Rams next week, and the Rams are no slouches. And they're fighting for a playoff spot. Then they play Jacksonville in Jacksonville. They play San Francisco in San Francisco. And then they play us at home, and they play Pittsburgh at home to end the season. That's not an easy schedule.
So, yeah, they could lose any of those.
That's not an easy schedule for Baltimore. So, you know, that's one of the teams you're competing against in regard to record. Now, let's take a look at Jacksonville. You know, this always interests me to no end down the stretch here, because it's so important. And you know, every team has a situation where it's not going to be easy for them. It's just not. You know, you're going to be in a position where all these games are vital. And, you know, everybody says, oh, our schedule's so tough, you know, blah, blah. So is everybody else's. So Jacksonville down the stretch plays Cincinnati. You know, without Burrow, it's probably a little bit easier game for them. But then they play at Cleveland. Then they play Baltimore, as I mentioned. So somebody's got to lose between those two teams. Then they go to Tampa. The end of their schedule is a little bit easy for Jacksonville. They play at Tampa. Then they play the Carolina Panthers, and then at Tennessee. So, you know, I mean, you're looking at probably three wins right there. So, you know, Jacksonville's got a little bit easier schedule than Baltimore does down the stretch. You know, and then the last team would be Kansas City. Let me just take a quick look at their schedule down the stretch. Play some music, Mike, while I'm doing this. All right, so Kansas City down the stretch. Here's what they have. They play the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau Field. And Green Bay actually played a really solid game on Thanksgiving against Detroit. So no slouches, right?
I think they'll beat Green Bay.
Yeah, well, anything can happen. Then they play Buffalo at home. They have Buffalo at home. Then they play at New England. Should be a win. Then they play the Raiders at home. Should be a win. They play the Bengals at home. And then they play at the Chargers. So the chief schedule down the stretch, not that difficult.
Chiefs are going to be the number one seed.
Yeah. You would think so.
Yeah.
You would think.
Unless Mahomes gets hurt or they collapse some other way. But
something happens somewhere down the line. But right now, you would think that, you know, they have the easiest schedule. I mean, obviously, when you looked at it at the beginning of the year, and this happens all the time, and this is what, you know, I stress all the time, is that
you
things
do.
Change over the course of the season. The teams that you think are going to be bad or good, and it works the other way as well. So
Cincinnati's a great example of that. You know, as soon as they lose a quarterback, they drop a notch.
The Chargers as well. I mean, you know, I'm sure when the Chiefs were looking at this schedule and saying, all right, well, we got to play the Chargers at the end of the season.
Well, that's going to be a tough game.
In Los Angeles, you know, you're like, that's going to be kind of a tough game. So, you know, but right now, those last two games of the year for Kansas City both look very winnable. So those are the teams that we're competing up against. You know, we have some say in that. You know, with the Baltimore game, there's a good chance that we may both have the same record going into that game. There's a very good chance that that happened. So
we just got to hope that our defense can lay the lumber against Baltimore and shut down that offense. If they can do that, then we can certainly win that game.
Well, if you watched the game last night, Mike, and this is the thing that interests me about Baltimore, is that the Chargers – minus Boza, did an extremely good job against them. I mean, yeah. You know, it was the Chargers' offense against Baltimore's defense that absolutely struggled. That was a winnable game for them last night. They just couldn't score points. They turned the ball over in their own end a few times. You know, that fumble by Eckler inside the 10 just totally changed the game around. You know, so their offense is kind of like, okay, you know, it's nothing spectacular. If you keep Lamar Jackson grounded and not have him kill you running the football, which is what the Chargers did last night, then you've got a good shot at beating them as long as your offense, you know, comes to play. So, you know, that remains to be seen. But they're a beatable team as far as I'm concerned. They're very good.
It's going to be a fun 6 weeks until we figure out what's what and who's going where in the playoffs.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, going into the season, you know, the Jets, we really thought were going to be
up at the top of the division.
Up at the top, yeah. I mean, one of the teams contending, and, you know, obviously.
But as Rodgers went down, they went down. You knew that was going to happen because we've seen Zach Wilson, what he brings.
Yes. I mean, this is the thing, Mike, when you look at that as a whole. You didn't expect them to be as bad as they are offensively. Uh-uh. I didn't.
No.
I just didn't. I mean, they've gone above and beyond being bad. And I felt that they were going to go out after those first couple weeks and at least try to sign a veteran guy that can at least manage the offense. I mean, even if you make a few plays a game, it's much better than anything that is going on right now with that offense. I mean, those two guys, I mean, this guy that we played up against this past week was bad as well. Their offensive line is just decimated. You know, so they can't even get anything going, even if they had a somewhat decent quarterback. They just have some issues on that side of the football, and, you know, they're going to have to address it in the offseason, because if not, they're going to run into the same problems, and that's even with Rodgers quarterbacking, because they can't block. They just can't block. So,
yeah. A lot of their problems stem from the offensive line. They have, you know, Becton is out, and, you know, they're just not a very good offensive line right now.
Yes, they're not. So. They're not. They're pretty, pretty bad.
All right, so we'll be back after the game. I mean, I'm sorry, we'll be back Wednesday.
I would hope so. Are you skipping it? Are we skipping a show on Wednesday?
I'm all confused here. I have a cold and I'm not well.
Yeah. So, yeah, Washington, we'll preview them on Wednesday. They're an interesting team. I'm looking forward to that football game. And we're on the road again for that, or are we home for that one?
We are on the road.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So it should be interesting. I like when we go on the road and we play teams that we don't normally play. Should be a fun, fun game to watch.
When I think of playing in Washington, I think of Clayton.
Yeah, that opening day.
Yes.
With Marino and Clayton.
Oh, yes.
And in his second season. Uh-huh. That was the beginning of
a very great, very good season.
A phenomenal season. Marino's 48 touchdown season. Clayton going up in the end zone, Duper going down the sideline on a simple, like, 15-yard, 20-yard fade down the sideline. Great stuff. Yep, a lot of great memories.
So we got guys who can match it, right? You've got Tua. You've got Tyreek Hill. I'd like to see them score in the same end zone the same way.
That's right.
That would be kind of cool, especially if Sports Illustrated takes a picture of it.
There you go. All right.
Well, anyway. All right. Thanks for joining me this morning, Lewis.
And very welcome.
Thanks for listening, everybody. As we said, we'll be back Wednesday to talk about the Redskins. And until then, fins up, everybody.
The Commanders, Mike. The Commanders. Did I say
Redskins? Oh, my God. I should know better.
You just did what I always do.
I can't help it.
All right. Fins up, Dolphins.
The Redskins, as long as I'm talking about them. I apologize to any Indians that may be offended.
Fins up.
Fins up, everybody.
All right, Fin fans, that's today's show. I want to thank the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network and the Sports Social podcast network. Check out these sites, guys. They've got articles and podcasts, which I think you'll enjoy. All right, until next week, be well and take care.
Network.